Okay, thank you for attending and being here for this meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals, which for some reason I have down. It says Tuesday, October 24th. That's what you get what you pay for, you know? But this, we have a big case first with a lot of little moving parts. Then we have our second case, which is the second residence on West Charleston Road. First thing, and once you're done, like if you're done here for the first one and you have no interest in the second one, you're welcome to leave. We don't hold you captive. So if you're done, you can go. Also, we will be doing some minutes and things like that. And then I would ask that when you do come up, we can't seem to get the mics going correctly, so we're using a phone to record. So if you just be clear, and please don't step on each other or yell from the audience, because then none of us can hear, because it clogs up my hearing aids. So, okay, so we don't have a chairperson, so I think our first order of business is to decide who's chairperson so you can run the meeting. What happened is the chairperson wasn't reelected and they haven't had a meeting since. So what I would ask is if somebody move to nominate a chair.
I move
Jeff
to nominate
next in line,
Steve
so he's
Owens.
Not here.
Okay.
So I don't know if he wants to be the chair or not. If he doesn't, I'm next in line. So I don't know. I don't know if he's.
Yeah.
Is that right, Darren?
Yeah. Okay. That's why I nominated you.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a nomination on the floor. Any other nominations for chair? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to appoint Steve Owens as chair of the BZA?
I'll move to appoint Steve as chair of the BZA.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. And can we have a vote to Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Quinn?
Yes.
Mr. Stouder?
Yes.
And Mr. Owens, you can't vote because it's you, so.
I recuse.
You recuse. Okay, that's three yeses, and congratulations, Mr. Owens. Do you want to appoint a vice chair at this time, or do you want to wait for your next meeting?
Is Jeff still active? Or?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Well, I think we probably have to decide to wait to the next meeting for vice because Jeff might want.
Yeah, maybe.
That's fine. That's fine. So we'll make a note that vice to be nominated next meeting. Okay. Got that. All right, Mr. Owens. Chairperson,
okay.
Did you get your gavel? You may have to use it on
meeting
some. May have to use it on some of these people.
Officially started.
We have officially started.
Yeah.
So
okay.
What we want to do is officially now introduce yourselves. We'll start with chairperson, please.
Steve Owens.
Zach Stouder, BZA.
Nikki O'Quinn, BZA.
Darren Anderson, BZA.
Thank you very much. We do have two alternates. They are not here this evening. I am the staff member tonight, Marty Kasky. And we'll go ahead. If anyone has any objections about us proceeding with what has happened prior, let me know. Yes?
You got an alternate.
I'm sorry?
You got an alternate in the audience.
Oh, I did. Okay. Hi.
She can fill that seat, can't she?
It's Rachel. Yes. That's Rachel back there hiding.
Okay.
Okay.
That's her job.
Rachel, actually, you can come up if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we Jeff isn't here, so come on up. That's why you're appointed.
Come on up.
Come on now.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Never met you before.
Nice to meet you.
There you go.
Hello.
You're in the big girl chair now.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up. Let's go ahead and get started with our first case. This is a case that has a lot of moving parts, so let me I'll read through and give just a couple of comments as I go as for the reasoning, and then you'll be off and running. It's case V02-03-04-05-06-07-08-09, 2024. A request from Alan and Cassandra Rhea, where are you? They're in the back. They're at 955 Free Road, New Carlisle, Ohio, but they own these two parcels. For 8 variances needed to bring the non-conforming parcels located at 6585 US 40 East in Brandt into compliance with the present Bethel Township zoning resolution. Now, here's my editorial comment. The reason for that is they're attempting to sell the property. A bank will not give a mortgage on a residential use property that's zoned business. That's why this is happening. All variances must be approved for the rezoning case to be considered. In other words, every variance must pass or it can't even go to the zoning commission for consideration. So the 2 and 3, variances 2 and 3, let me put in the record, the Miami County parcel numbers A010860034 is the house. A010860035 is the parcel with the garage. Variance 2 and 3, these allow for the two existing parcels to be less than the required acreage. They do, of course, have sewer and water there on 40, but the minimum is the 1 acre, and the lot sizes are both, they're identical lot sizes, are both 0.23 acres for a total of 0.46 acres. Then variance 4 and 5, that allows the two existing parcel setbacks to be less than the 50 feet required. The house presently there was put in 1943 before zoning. So we too rezone, they either have to be in compliance or be given a variance, and that's what this is. They're closer to the road than would be permitted by today's zoning resolution. The first property is 18.5 feet from the road, and the second is 36.8. Then V6 is a variance allowing for the side setback of the existing residence to be 1.5 feet. Duh. The present side setback requirement is 20 feet for a residence, but when this was built, it was built right on the property line. So. And that property line still exists. Then the V07, that's a variance allowing for a garage to be on a parcel without a residence. So an accessory building means that it's accessory to a residence, and then there's not one on that parcel. It's used by the residents on the next parcel. And then the last two, 8 and 9, they allow for the two existing parcels frontage to be less than the, I had 175, I was corrected by Julie, it's now 200 feet. The present parcels are both 50 feet, as I mentioned, they're identical. So the present parcels are 50 feet each for a total of 100 feet. So even, some folks had mentioned joining the parcels, even joining, we'd still need most of these variances. The residence and the garage have both been on parcels with solely residential use in memory. This is not an unusual situation in Brandt. There are, I wouldn't say many, but there are more than several people living in Brandt that have 2 and 3 lots that they are built over. So it's not out of character with what has been going on here. And I was talking to Jerry Hurd, who's been around since Brandt was established. And
seems like that.
And it's not optimum. And for the most part, what's happened with this property before is that sold for cash, so there was no mortgage problem. Now there's a mortgage problem. So those are the variances that have been requested. And basically, we need to see if you folks have any comments or questions, and then we'll go to the audience.
Are we going to try to approve these all at once, or one each one of these separate? I mean,
Jerry,
pertains
I was
to the
thinking
same
about that coming in. Can that be done that way? Just
as far as I know, it could be, yeah, you could do them all as one.
It's there, and it's already the same property.
But
I mean,
to address that before you go any further, I'm here as a member of the zoning board, which will hear this case afterwards.
Right.
I don't know what the opinion of the other members of the zoning board are, but I have a question of why they just don't want to combine these lots, which would make a lot more sense for anything that would happen in the future. And Marty, I don't think, has addressed that. They just said that they didn't want to. So I would like that question answered before we go any further.
Okay.
Well, Sandy, or
anybody out there have anything?
I've not requested them to be separate. And when I asked at the tax office, she told me that I would have to go to the engineering and ask them why it was like that.
Well, you don't have to ask them. You just have to request that the two lots be, and they'll require a new survey probably, but they're probably going to, the mortgage company is probably going to want a survey anyhow.
I think so.
With an illegal.
Are you saying you now or not? You don't have a problem combining them?
I've never.
Well, when we talked about it in the office, you didn't want to combine
them. I didn't know anything about combining
them. Okay. Well, I mean, that could be a stipulation.
Well, yeah, we could stipulate that in what you guys do, and then that would eliminate the one variance, I know for sure.
Right.
I'd have to look down here.
Yeah, a couple.
Actually, it would eliminate more than one. But yeah, if you could act on all of them and put those conditions in what you're acting on.
Well, I'm thinking maybe if they could act on all of them, and then it would be the zoning commission that would, they'd be prepared, the variances would be approved regardless of which way you go.
Well, as far as changing the required, it wouldn't have to be for the two existing parcels, it would only be for one parcel. When we actually would hear it. So, you know, those, that language we can change, I guess, or it can be changed by you folks before it gets to us.
So you have no objection if they put language in that those lots would, upon approval, would be joined?
No, I don't have any problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions from
anybody got anything here?
One other thing that I can illuminate for you folks. I had questioned Marty when I first looked at the map because to my recollection, they had never been anything except residential. And I thought there was possibly an error when the digital maps were created that they just accidentally, because the two lots to the west of that is where the old body shop used to be, and I'm not sure whether that's a body shop in there now or a mechanical shop, whichever.
We don't have a screen here today.
Yeah, it's the two lots
that's
to the west
one
of
the, corner
of the
here,
two
right on the corner
in question.
No, the corner is the
shop or something.
That's the shop. Then there's the shop has a parking parking area to the east.
The shop actually takes up two lots as well.
Right.
And then there's the garage by itself on a parcel, and then there's the house by itself on a parcel, as you can see from either one of the graphics.
But I have figured out why those two lots were originally zoned as business. I talked to Susie Stidham, whose grandparents actually had that house originally. And her grandfather had where the existing garage sits on the two parcels in question. He had a garage there that he did work out of. It was mechanical. So when zoning first went into effect in 1956, those two lots were zoned B1 because it was an existing business when zoning came into effect. And it's been that way ever since. And every time it's been transferred since then, it's either been a cash sale or it may have been a case where a mortgage was actually given by the mortgage company, irregardless of what the zoning was, because they're a lot more strict now than they used to be. So that's why those lots exist as B1 at the present time.
Very good.
Right.
Thank you for that. That's great insight. Yeah. Anything else from the board? Okay, anyone in the audience want to comment on this one?
If you do, come up to the podium.
Julie Reese, Dayton Brandt.
Julie who?
Julie.
In case you don't know, Julie Reese is one of our
You're lucky
trustees.
The recording's on, Marty.
Do you swear to tell the truth?
Yes, I do. Okay. I just really wanted to add to what Jerry said, because that was my one question too, was why aren't they combining the parcels?
Yeah.
And I would just like to point out that if you do not make that a condition, that separate 0.23 acre lot could be have another house built on it. Because it once it's R1 AAA, and it's already R1 AAA, that parcel standalone could have another house, which would really violate our 1 acre minimum.
And aren't they too small? The setbacks wouldn't apply, would they?
Right, but you've just
if you're trying to build a new house.
Right, but you've just granted a variance 2 and 3 are to allow them to be less than the required acreage. So they in theory could sell that separate site off and put a house on it. So just
Julie's got a good point. That was one of the questions I had, but it's kind of a moot point too in the fact that no matter what they went when they go to build a new house, they'd have to meet the requirements, I think, of their current zoning. So I think that part might be a moot point.
Yeah, I mean, just like this one was built over here. So
they would already have that variance based on tonight.
Right.
They wouldn't have to ask for a variance in the future.
Correct.
Okay.
No other folks from the audience? Sandy, did you need to say anything? No? No. You're quiet tonight. Okay, maybe for ease of bookkeeping, we should just do the approvals with the caveat that this is to go to the Zoning Commission to be and will be joined. Does that make sense? Okay, so basically, if there's no other comments or questions, that would be the motion to make, that case V2 through V9 would be approved pending the joining of the property of the two parcels into one, which would be part of the Zoning Commission case.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
You want motion just what I said?
Yeah.
The second motion needs to be here, not in the zoning.
Do what?
The condition needs to be here, right? Not the zoning, because of the zoning.
I can't hear you, Julie.
The condition needs to be put on it here,
yeah.
Not in the next meeting.
Well, no, I said that.
That's what
I said.
That. With the conditions. That's what he said, with the caveat that they be.
That it would go to the zoning commission.
He already said that.
That be combined.
But they would be combined, and then they would go to zoning.
Must be combined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which would, all, in all actuality, it would discontinue a couple of these variants.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it would actually
And we can clarify that when we do the if it's approved here, if it's rezoned, the letter confirming the rezoning would confirm all that.
Yeah, because a couple of these variants is,
Once it's together as one parcel, then yeah, some of them drop away.
Correct.
So did you already make a motion? We
Need
a second, right?
Need a second.
I'll second.
All right. And Darren, 1 and 2. All right. We'll go right to the vote then. Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Quinn?
Yes.
Ms. Kiplinger?
Yes.
Mr. Stoddard?
Yes.
And Mr. Owens?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, we'll go to the next meeting then with you and see where we get from there. All right, now I, let me spell out unanimous, so I know what I said. Now we get to the second case, case CU0124, a request from Fonda Barney, 2705 West Charleston Road, Tip City, Ohio, 45371, property owner, requesting approval of a zoning conditional use at the same address to allow for a second residence on their 10-acre parcel, which is A2. Road frontage will not allow for a split parcel. Conditional use only to be approved if the parcel is to remain whole, and second residence may only be used by relatives and not as a rental or short-term rental, such as an Airbnb. The property is identified as Miami County Parcel ID A01-036740. I will mention a couple of you have been on the board when we've had other second residences that were requested. I remember three of them, two were approved.
Yeah.
One was not. So there's precedence either way. Just wanted to mention that it has come up before, and that's what the votes were. You'll see in your packet the layout of the property. We have it's again A2 general agriculture. It's on the north side of West Charleston Road. It's 6 property from the river. Right now it's residential and agriculture, and the Bethel land use plan is rural. Around north, south, east, and west, it's generally A2, A1, and R1 AAA. The road frontage now is 328 feet. As you know, it's a 200-foot minimum, so that could not be split without a variance. You'll see exhibits. I showered you with exhibits. A is the Bethel Township zoning map. B is the GIS aerial vicinity map. C, and that's why I sent this all to you earlier, because there were a raft of emails, and I wanted you to have all the information for you. The application information, and then I did put in the two previously approved second residence decisions, so you had them handy. Miami County Health District would have to approve any second residence sewer water, and the recommendation second residence requests have been allowed in the past with the provision that the second residence is not used as a short-term rental or Airbnb, and only family would be permitted to buy or rent. So that's it's, like I say, there's a lot going on there. So does the board have any questions for me?
I have a question.
Okay. Yeah.
Seeing that how this is a conditional use, mm-hmm. And if the untimely death of the owners now, mm-hmm. and it goes to the daughter and son-in-law, mm-hmm. would the conditional use go along with them?
Yes, it goes with the property.
That's what I thought.
Not the people.
Is this house in the front? Is this the house on the front? The front, or is this the existing house?
No, the existing house is
West Charleston.
If you look at the little map,
yeah, the existing house is in the back.
It's toward the back.
If you go, if you flip to the aerial,
yeah,
aerial map, the second residence is proposed at the in front of the primary.
Right.
It's in front.
So yeah, it would be to the front. Yes, it would still be back. It would still conform to any residential requirements.
I know the ones we've approved in the past has been 10 acres or over.
Yep.
Whether it be 12, because the last one was 12 acres. I remember that on Scarf Road.
Yep.
The barn dominium.
OK.
Yeah, the last one I remember was up on, Horn Lane off of Studebaker. The folks had 36 acres and didn't want to tear down the existing historic farmhouse to build their new house. So that was the last one that I was actually here at Bethel working when that got approved.
What's that one in the back, a barndominium or something?
Yes.
There's a, yeah.
That's basically how you describe it.
Yeah.
That's very popular now.
Yep, I say the last one, the last case we saw, at least when I was here, was for a barndominium, if you'll remember.
Yeah, I remember. They're, like Marty said, they're getting very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so. That's a small, 1,300 square foot. Was it 1,800 or 1,300?
1,800.
1,800.
1,800, yeah.
If you look at the plate, yeah, the house.
Minimum is 1,500.
If you, they got the plan is attached at the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1,800 square feet.
I'm trying to be judicious with our tax dollars and copying front and back.
So who's the owner?
Do you have any larger layout of that?
I'm sorry?
That's pretty small, it's kind of hard to see what we're looking at. Do you have any larger?
Not really, no.
Does anybody? Oh, okay. All right.
The two views, one view further up does not show the additional barn.
Oh, that's from the email. Everybody see it? A blue roof, I like that.
Anybody that wants to speak out there needs to come up to the podium.
Are we done with any questions from the board?
Okay.
We can go ahead and do the audience participation. So if you want to come up and just sign in quickly, and that's pro or con. If you want to speak, maybe we may want to allow. Basically, if you have a lot of questions, I mean, we try to run this pretty loosely so that everybody gets their questions answered. We may ask Fonda and her daughter to answer the questions real time versus going through a bunch of statements and then trying to figure it all out, if that's acceptable to everybody. I just think that's more efficient with the crowd that we have. So, who wants to jump in?
If I could request for anybody who has any opposition to go before me, I would really appreciate it.
If we just have questions, you still want to?
Yeah, you can come up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sign in. Just put your address real quick.
It's easier for us to see you and things when you're standing at the podium.
A couple things about this are a little confusing to me. First of all,
well, can you say your name though, please?
Bruce Batty. I live 2409 West Charleston Road.
Okay.
First of all, the term relative. What is a third cousin twice removed count as a relative? I mean, seriously. If you're gonna put a stipulation in.
Well, I think it said family.
What does that mean?
Well, that can be
Well, it needs to be understood. It needs to be understood before we approve anything here. So.
I guess family could be third cousin. I don't know. Cousin.
Well, I think.
I don't know.
would you agree that it needs to be clarified?
That's up to them.
There's a definition of family in your zoning resolution. A person or a group of persons occupying a dwelling and living as a single housekeeping unit. Whether or not related to each other by birth, marriage, or distinguished from a group occupying a bed and breakfast establishment, motel, hotel, as defined herein.
So then I'd be on a relative.
That could be a third cousin.
That could still be a third cousin.
Could be anybody.
Yeah.
Not so the zoning.
Whether or not.
You don't have
is that what you said?
No, you don't have to be related.
No relation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I told you. I heard you say whether or not. So I don't. Kind of
and a lot of that has to be a legal description of a family unit because of unmarried people that live together, whatever.
Good point.
So somebody said there doesn't need to be a relationship. Is that what I heard somebody say?
It says a person or group of persons occupying a dwelling and living as a single household housekeeping unit.
Well, we're talking two dwellings, so that doesn't even apply because it says a dwelling.
Well, we're only talking about a second dwelling now.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And then
a second dwelling, this would still apply.
It still applies.
Yeah.
All the rules for residents apply.
Okay. The other aspect is it says only family would be permitted to buy. So if Mr. and Mrs. Barney pass away, and whoever's living in the relative, so-called relative, is living in the second residence, you're saying that that person can only sell to a relative?
Yeah, I have a problem with the way that's worded. And I was just trying to research.
Anything in the book on that?
Well, I was trying to research whether conditional use, and that refers me to another spot in the book, so I can't answer that yet.
Well, conditional use, from my understanding, can be have conditions, whatever they approve as conditions.
So what does it mean when it says only family would be permitted to buy?
See, the
I mean, if I own the property, I certainly wouldn't want that to be a condition, because if my son was living in the second house, I pass away, my son says, I don't want to live here anymore. This says only family would be permitted to buy the property.
Yeah, and that's a concern that I have with that in anything, because what happens 3 and 4 generations out?
Absolutely.
We got a real problem that's...
Where does it say that?
Right here.
It's in the recommendations.
In the recommendations, the last line.
So does that mean the house could be vacant for all them years?
Good question.
It'd be kind of a waste, wouldn't it?
And then again, you get back to the definition.
Well, I'm wondering if what we got here is a little bit of a grammar snafu. Is that when it says only family would be able permitted to buy or rent, only referring to the second residence, the one that's to be built?
Well, they have to be sold together because it's still one property.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I assume that this
would be permitted. Now, if they were to say permitted to rent, family only permitted to rent, that would be a little less confusing. If the family's going to pay rent, I mean, I had to pay rent to live at home when I was an adult.
Yeah, well, but I think
and that's a good point, and that can be changed as part of this.
We could define family as we could be anybody. You don't have to be related.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no way to enforce
family.
It's relative.
I mean, I don't know why that sentence is even in there.
It was from the past one.
Yeah, well, I think nobody questioned it at that point, and that's a problem.
Well, that's fine. Again,
I really think you're in legal problems with any of that sentence in there.
And actually, since that just is under the recommendation, it's not what's... That's the recommendation.
Right, yeah.
It's not what they have to vote on.
Exactly. And that recommendation is strictly Marty's recommendation.
Well, again, based
which
on past,
based on, yeah.
based on past cases.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pay any attention to it. What they're voting on is that top paragraph, and then any changes.
Yeah, there's lots of things that can go in between on this. But I mean, like Marty said, we're voting on the top paragraph.
Right. And any changes you want to add.
A thousand other paragraphs we could. You know.
So when you mentioned about generations down, whoever's going to enforce this, somebody's still going to have to interpret or define relative at that point. It seems like it makes a lot more sense to do it at this stage rather than leaving it up to...
Or it could be simply amended.
If we just take relative out.
Well, then
it's not an Airbnb.
It could simply be amended to say that it can't be used as a short-term rental on Airbnb.
It's up here in the original top paragraph.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you take out the may only be used by relatives if you leave out the relatives, but may not be used as a rental or short, or Airbnb, a rental or short.
Yeah, the rental or a short-term rental.
Or a short-term rental.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, there's no definition in your zoning currently for short-term rental or Airbnb, I don't think. And I really think you, if I was, you know, involved in this case as the owner or as somebody that represents the township, I think legally that whole sentence should be struck.
Just to ask.
Well, who can strike it?
Sure.
Which sentence?
Whatever is.
The one that says conditional use only to be approved if the parcel is to remain whole, I'm sorry. Second residence may be used by the relatives and not the rental or short-term rental, and in parentheses, Airbnb. Because there's not even a definition for an Airbnb, I don't think, in your current zoning. And short-term rental's not included in the current zoning.
Well, what about just as a rental property? It may not be used as an income-generating rental property.
Well, again, three generations out from now,
yeah,
is going to be hard to enforce, and I don't think that would ever stand up in any court of law. And again, that's just my opinion. I'm not a legal lawyer or anything.
Well, you've got a lot of precedent that you've sat through.
Yeah.
But the short story on this thing is, understand that it's intended for close relatives, you know, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, that kind of thing. That's when they're saying relatives. I know that's what they're trying to get to. But the other part of this is they're also trying to say that when they don't use it for renting,
right,
rental property.
That's key.
Income generating rental property. Because then, as you know, I live across the street from a rental property. It's a real pain in the posterior when you get bad tenants. But
that can happen even if it's a residence, mm-hmm, and it's sold and somebody turns it into a rental. There's nothing in our zoning that prohibits that.
Yeah, but it looks like, from what I'm reading here, we're not going to be able to separate that from the property.
No,
the
they would not be able to separate it from the property.
And
so whoever owned the main residence on that property, if you know, if they wanted to rent it three or four generations later,
they're prohibited from doing so.
Yeah, well, they would be prohibited on this, but I'm not sure it would ever stand up if they took
it
to court.
And then the question would be, how far would they want to push it to go to court?
Well, exactly. But even your family situations change all the time.
Right.
And
right.
If it's tied to that parcel as a second residence, I don't see a problem with it being a rental rather than sitting there as an unoccupied building that just deteriorates because the property owner doesn't want to keep it up.
I mean, we're trying to think of things that'll happen 30 years, 40 years down the road.
Exactly, and that's the problem we have.
What if a relative doesn't live in that first one, or 40 years from now they don't have a relative? Does it get split into two parcels because somebody wants to have
a rental? No, because it couldn't be split into two parcels. Because it doesn't meet any of the other requirements,
right,
as far as
enough variances, they could.
Now it doesn't. And
get enough variances,
you have to
have, it doesn't now.
Well, you have to have faith that the people that sit in your position,
right,
later would realize,
yeah,
that they're not looking for the benefit.
But I mean,
of
as the years go by, it could be nobody have nothing to do with the people living that front house, or nothing to do with the people living back. Say, I want my own property here. You know.
But if that's the case, they would have to go before,
right,
the succeeding board of you folks.
Yes.
Which we have to have faith that they would have the good of the community at heart when they take,
mm-hmm,
the position.
What is the acreage requirement for a single residence?
3 acres.
3 acres.
Because we talked about changing it. That's what, and there. This is 10.
Yep.
It's 10. But you also have 300 feet of frontage. You got to have.
Understood. But it, I mean, it has, it's 10 acres. It's not, it's not like we're trying to slide it in a small lot.
If they split it, it'd be five.
Yeah, but they, it's too narrow to split, or that would have been the easiest, or we wouldn't have been here.
If I may, could I ask if Fonda and her family, do you object to changing that wording?
No, absolutely not.
Anybody else?
So what would the, what wording, striking that whole sentence, is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Are you saying strike that whole sentence? Is that the wording you just were asking?
Well, we'll keep, we want to keep that short-term rental part.
Okay.
The rental or short-term rental?
Yeah.
I don't know that you want to keep that myself personally.
Personally, I would leave it in and let the future people fight it in court. If it comes to be an issue, let them fight it out in court. I would just leave it there.
Okay, state your name.
Douglas Rabe, 2605 West Charleston. I live next door.
Okay.
So I have these two pictures for you that I sent around in a PowerPoint slide. This shows the blue is the new house.
Yep.
And the barnominium and my house and my barn. And the blue house obviously is an expectation based on the house in the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was there with a three-car garage. So it turned out to be about 100 feet by 30 feet. This is a picture of a higher up, but not as high as yours. This shows the neighboring homes.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pay attention to that. I don't know if I'll call it number two or not, but it's the higher view. I don't think the rental business makes any difference because you wouldn't control it anyhow. There will be two homes on this property, period. One of the concerns that I have is that both homes will be considered on a 10-acre lot. Your zoning for either resident will be a 10-acre zoning restriction, 10 acres plus, okay? So that's one of the issues. By the first picture that I passed around, you see that the homes are very close together. All three of those homes are close together. If you look at the higher up one, you can see that they're packed at the front of the property, which as a single home on the property is not unexpected, but as two homes, that's more unusual. So I believe that with the increased density of the property, homes in that area, that the land values are going to be less desirable of the adjoining properties, and even that property. As you already pointed out, the future use of the two homes is irrelevant. It'll be anybody. I mean, right now it's intended to be family, that's fine. But in the future, not even 10 years from now, not even 50 years or whatever you had said, it could be a lot sooner than that. So there's no control for all of that. It really, the variance is being asked to put a second home on the property unrestricted. And as a matter of fact, it'll be unrestricted to the point where it'll act as 10 acres. At least I think that's the question. Mark, you didn't. I don't think you answered that question. Whether or not each home will be able to operate as if they lived on an individual 10-acre
lot. No, I didn't
lot.
Answer that.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry, I didn't get to see it.
It's not based on the number of homes.
Right.
Accessory buildings based on the size of the acreage.
Right. So either home, if they wanted to build an additional barn, an additional greenhouse, an additional anything, they could do whatever they want to, as if it were 10 acres individually.
Yes. Yeah.
So each home, although it's only on one 10-acre plot, can act as if it's on two.
At 10 acres in agricultural, they can have as many buildings as they wish.
Exactly. Either resident.
They can
do
that now.
But I'm saying either resident. Okay. Now, if they are, quote, real close family, they'll probably do things together anyhow. But if it's not, it's uncontrolled. Okay.
There'll only be one property owner.
Yeah.
But the money will come from both residents. Mm-hmm. If I want to build a big barn and my property owner says okay.
If your property owner says
the
property
the interest,
owner would.
Okay, well, my point is that the interest is doubled by having two residents. Okay? Yes, sure. There's only one property owner. which might be something you want to consider for other reasons of taxes, but so the biggest concern I have is that it's unrestricted. There's just another property being built, another residence being built, and there is no control. So I believe that if this is going to be done, it ought to be split. Ask for a variance on the driveway width and be done with it. Then that way, both properties in the future are controlled by the zoning commission.
Which one of these is your property? 13 or the 11?
Can I look at? I'm 13.
Okay. You're right here.
I'm right there. And on this picture, I'm right there. That's my house.
Okay.
Okay. It's my barn. Right. The barn name. Same way here. Oh, wait. Sorry. The last point I should have made is that if you look at the further view out, all but one of the properties have next to nothing in the back. My house has 5 acres in the back that's basically brush, natural, whatever. Properties all the way up and down, except for the one at, Marjorie, what's your number?
2755.
2755. She doesn't have something in the front, okay? But if you look at that property from further out, not quite as far as the one in the picture, every one of us could split off a property. And that would change the character of West Charleston Road completely. It would almost double the north side residents if everybody did it.
So I heard you say two times already, no restrictions.
No restrictions.
We have restrictions.
What's that?
You said, I heard you say a couple times already that no restrictions, do this with no restrictions, but we have restrictions.
Well, 10 acres restriction, I'm sorry. Okay. With no restrictions for a smaller
property.
You've actually split it. You have effectively split it and not
right,
and not split it under control of the zoning.
Okay.
I mean, no matter what, you're splitting the property, whether you consider it one or two. Two residences is what I'm trying to say. Okay?
Thank you.
Anyone else?
If anybody else wants to go with some decision.
Anybody else have anything to add?
Oh.
State your name, please.
I'm Steve Swihart. We live two properties down. I guess my question is, can I do this? You know, can I split off 5 acres off my property? I'm A1. I can do that.
Sure.
Can everybody on our road do that? They request. Can everybody
within the proper variances? With, yes.
Right, right.
Variance,
so we can actually split up 10 acres. I think that sets a dangerous precedence. You know, you're using a precedence of 12 acres with the, I think you're split off an 800-foot house or something. Correct me on that, but that had an impact here, and this is going to have an impact all over Bethel Township. It's not going to look the same, you know. So I question, yeah. Why are you looking at me like?
Because I'm not requesting a split. I'm not sure where you're going.
Well, I know, but it will split up eventually. And you don't think so? Okay. So we can. Okay. Sorry. We can go ahead and request a second residence on there. Okay. Let me back up a little bit. Okay. All right. There you go. Okay. So I can put a cabin in the back of my property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. With a variance.
Possibly. Yeah.
We can all do that. Okay. I mean, there's some positive to that. It seems like it's going to be a lot of more traffic on the road and issues like that. So, yeah, apologize for the split. But
just want all you folks that are involved in those 10-acre plots, you realize under our current zoning, those lots would not exist. We instituted years ago because of the fact that they made those bowling alley lots to split that farm off into small lots. We increased the acreage involved to split off without rezoning, which is what they did in that case. They split them off as 10 acres and they could remain agriculture. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have to come before a rezoning. So we changed that to 20 acres now to develop a, eliminate bowling alley lots like most of those lots are.
Okay. So right now that we could request a second residence and you guys may pass it.
Okay. May or may not.
May or may not. Okay.
But you certainly can request.
Uh-huh. Okay, I misunderstood. I heard for some reason there's a lot of things going around that if you would have to sell that property, it'd have to be split up. That's not the truth.
That is not the case.
Okay. That clarifies my question there. Okay, but we only have two precedents of it passing in Bethel Township, right?
Right. Two pass and one fail.
Right.
And well, that's in recent history.
Well, yeah. Well, it's all I could really find.
Right. Well, there's other cases, way back a long time ago, yeah, where there were two residents. Actually, we had Joe Sumner's property on 202. He wanted to put a second residence on a agriculture zone property. And at that time, everybody assumed that you could only have two, but it doesn't say that in the zoning resolution. It says additional residences, not additional resident. It's plural. So that on a large farm, you could have three or four houses if they had the conditional use to do it.
So I was, Anyways, I looked at the barnuminium, it looks very nice, but I do have a concern about the precedents, and I think people are going to hear about that and say, yeah, I would like to do that too, which, I mean, yeah. But, and I think it could change a lot of things in the township. All right.
Does anybody else have anything?
Laura Hawthorne, I live on 2775, two properties up from the Barneys. And I have to say, I think what, you know, is standing out in everybody's mind is that a couple things. You're setting a precedent of, you know, a lot of people could do this. And is everybody asking to do that right now? No. But I just spoke to my father earlier today, and he said, yeah, that'd be great. I'd like to do that. He has property across the street. So certainly in the future, that could be a possibility. And I think even though it's not something that's, you know, gonna happen soon, we talk about all these things that, well, could happen in the future. So that's the whole point of trying to do it right now, instead of kicking the can down the road. You know, we talk about, well, it can sell as a whole. Likely, at some point, it won't want to sell as a whole, whether it's in 10 years or three generations. Probably at some point, they're going to have to go back and split it, because the number of people that want the two homes on there is probably not going to be, it's going to lower the property value. So it makes sense to me to split it now and do it right now, and that would solve a lot of these concerns, I think, that people have about how it will be handled as a rental, or if it's going to be handled, you know, you obviously can't you can't police all those different, you know, we already decided legally who's a relative, right? So I have concerns about that, and I think that would make more sense to do it right the first time, is to split it. And that way you would not have question about what's going to happen to it in the future, and what is allowed on each property. It would fall a little bit differently. The other concerns I have to do with, and one benefit would be that if you split it, the water and sewer, I know it has to be approved, but we have a real water problem on the street. And so if everybody did add a resident, it would be a real problem. The way the droughts are, Our well has gone dry, gone gray a couple times now. A couple other neighbors have expressed the same thing. So I have concern that, you know, if you approve it now and then they work with the county, you know, potentially the county is going to have to make further concessions. Well, now this has already been approved, so now they have to find a way to actually make it work. When, you know, there is one well, on maybe it would have to be split. And then you would kick the can down the road further, that if the county were to go ahead and approve, well, they can both use the same well, then it's even harder to split in the future. So you've made that issue worse by kicking the can down the road. We have, I also have concerns about the land that it's on, that proposed to be on, was close to the, if not in the floodplain, but has been filled in over like 20 years ago, was filled in with fill, you know, hard fill, whatever. And I know, you know, 2014 we had a huge flood, gully washer right down through there. I would hate for Jenna's house to go floating down the river or to potentially collapse under that land that's there. Again, those are things that probably have to do with the county. But one of my big questions was, has the zoning board, before you make this decision, reached out to the county about some of these concerns before you approve it, and then they become problems later that then the county doesn't have a good answer for? If there aren't easy ways to build the house or to get water to both houses, for instance, or to put septic on both plots, then it will be really hard to split in the future if you don't ensure now that they're separated. I think it's going to be a problem down the road. So I'm just asking that those things are considered so that you do it right the first time.
One thing I would clarify, it actually goes the other way. The county won't answer hypothetical questions about whether, you know, there's water, enough water there, about the septic or whatever. It actually goes the other way. They would take their house plan and plot plan and perk test, et cetera, to the county, who would then say, yes, we can do it, or no, we can't. So it we can't go to the county and get any previous information to the case. They won't entertain it.
But it puts more onus on the county to find a way to make that work if it's already done.
It gives them more. Jerry can say the same thing. The county doesn't let themselves be pressured to do it.
There's several problems here as far as I, and I don't know which way I even feel to come down on the case. I don't know what the approach of the county is going to be for a second residence on the property. Have they even been asked about the sewerage for the second residence on the property as a conditional use?
And that's where, if I see what you're saying, that you can't go and ask all those questions now, but if you approve it, then the county can get creative with their solution.
The
problem with that historically, and this goes back for years, when everybody thought you had to have 5 acres to build in Bethel Township for years and years and years, and it was blamed on zoning, and it had nothing to do with our zoning really. It was the fact that the local health department, by state law, cannot deny a permit on anything 5 acres or larger. Because the assumption is that in 5 acres of distribution, you can get rid of the sewage in some type of on-site sewage disposal. So for years we were told that, you know, by all the realtors said that you had to have 5 acres. And we've always fought that from the standpoint of township zoning. We finally got that, I thought, changed at one point so that we could have smaller lots with where, to fight annexation, we wanted smaller lots along the southern border to keep from losing to annexation.
Yeah.
And that was the reason that we tried to accommodate small lots only on the, but then we were allowing smaller lots on in further up in the township, which wasn't the intention. It's just like the fact we changed from the 10 acres to 20 acres to keep farms from being split up, to get away from the have to have a rezone.
And it makes a difference on the lot. You know, some of these lots have huge ravines and some of them are on bedrock. We had problems when all of us built at the same time. I had neighbors coming to me saying, can we have part of your land in the back? Because we have 10 acres and we can't find a place to put a septic. And, you know, we can't find water, so it got resold. And the county worked with some people and got creative. And, you know, maybe they would do that here. But the thing is, if they do that and then they make a more combined solution where maybe they're both using the same well, or maybe they're sharing septic, or the septic's, you know, way behind the other house or something like that, then you have a really hard time down the road splitting unless you do it right now and make sure it's done right the first time so that it's could be separated in the future.
Well, going back to what Marty said, just because you want to build a house on a second property doesn't mean you're going to get water or sewage. The county, all we do is approve the zoning. Your building plans go to the county. The engineers of the county has to come out and set everything, and you have to have a septic man come out and do perk tests and all that stuff.
So,
I mean, you got, he might dig 3 or 4 wells there to find out how many gallons you're getting per minute where it's going.
Right. And you know, Cliffside Golf Course right behind us never did find water. Looked all over and never found water, tried to pipe water down there. It's a whole history of that. They had to get water from the farmhouse, you know, way up the street.
Well, you could also, I've seen them pump water. You know, if depends on how that distance is from that back house, you could use that well and run a water line all the way to that house.
That's precisely my point. When they get creative to make those solutions, then you've got two houses that are really connected. And when it goes to sell in the future and we've run out of relatives that want this $1 million property that has two, you know, large homes on it, then you're not going to be able to sell them separately. It'll always have to sell as one, and that's gonna change the way the property is viewed and valued. That's my point where I love Jenna, I love her family. And, you know, I think that's a great solution to, you know, live next to your grandparents, but I think it should be done right the first time, and that's my thought. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. So just something that I hear a lot is that the kids of Bethel that graduate have a hard time returning to the township. There's no affordable housing at their level, just getting out of school or getting out of college. So, and then the other side of that is that the older folks who have these big farms eventually can't take care of them, have to sell them, no place for them to buy a smaller house either. So, there was another case similar to this, not quite the same, on 571 where they wanted to divide up the farm and have their grandkids come and each get like a 5 or 10 acre lot and build a house on it. In the end, it turned out they couldn't do that because you have to put a multi-million-dollar 30-foot wide road with curbs and sewer and all this down the middle of it. So I just would like to say that this seems like a case to me where it's a family trying to stay together, and I like the idea of it's a family situation. So I'm with Jerry. I don't know how I'd vote, but it just seems like they're trying to do the right thing as far as, you know, saying it's not going to be used by non-relatives and no short-term rental and all that. So the other thing I just want to say is that I don't think you can just strike that line and say not as a rental or short-term rental. You have to probably put a condition on the rental part to say non-relatives, because that's the intention of that, right? It's not to let your relatives live in the thing free, because you know they're going to have to pay rent or something. So I don't know what the legal wording is. Maybe maybe you can condition it some way to say with approval from our attorney, because we do have an attorney, the prosecutor can do that. So I don't know, I just don't think you can strike that whole line or strike that whole thing and take it down to not as a rental or a short-term rental, because it removes the intention of what they're trying to do here, which is to have a family stay together on the same property.
Hey, Julie, would this make sense? A second residence may only be used, or I'm sorry, second residence may not be used as a short-term rental, period.
Well, but I think also that this is the way I read that line, is that they were not going to rent it to non-relatives. So, you know, in the case where somebody said, okay, Mr. and Mrs. die, right, and now what? So I think the intent was they weren't going to just say, okay, well, now they're dead, we're just going to rent it to anybody. To me, that line reads that we're just not going to, we're not going to have anybody on there. It's meant for family.
Again, that goes back to what we talked about on the first case, Julie, is what happens three or four generations out.
Well, I mean, there will be different people and different rules at that time. So, I mean, and also the person that mentioned all the buildings that they could be building, even if you split it, which I'm not for splitting anything, because you guys know I'm 10-acre minimum girl, but even a 5-acre property can put as many buildings as they want on, because that's a state rule. It's an ag property. An ag property.
An ag, yes. If it is ag.
So if it's A1, use. 5 acres, which is what 5 acres is, the buildings would be the same, whether it's split, not split. So I didn't really understand the point about all the buildings.
But it has to be 5 acres or over, right? To be,
yes,
ag,
to be
whatever A1. You want.
Yes.
I thought it was 10 acres.
It's 10.
No, like it. Case in point, Palmer and 40, where that big ass mark. Big barn is sitting in the corner. sorry, folks. Where that big barn sitting on the corner, that's how they did that, because there's...
Yeah, ag can be anything, basically, if it's an agricultural use, regardless of whether it's R1, AAA, A1, or A2.
And that always becomes a problem, because who's to determine whether it's an agricultural use?
Right. They have to sign
it. So they sign something, yeah.
But, you know...
Tried again, 30 years down the road.
Exactly. Or even 2 years later, the property changes hands, and it's no longer an agricultural use.
My name is Dr. Marjorie Markopoulos, and I wanted to emphasize that, doctor, because a lot of you are talking about water, and I have a PhD in water chemistry in a water environment, and I think some of the issues that you brought up about water and septic are very real realities. We actually had to redig our well because we lost our well, some of the water problems that Laura was talking about, and sediment problems. I'm sure it's not alone. These drought problems and adjoining properties and the amount of water that are being used is very critical. The septic systems that need to be put in, because we have to protect the environment and smaller properties and being close together. I'm a class 3 wastewater operator as well, so I know all about how to treat wastewater. Those things, you know, even if you can't get a septic system in the ground, you're going to have other operating systems that are going to require operations, and it could potentially smell, by the way, if you're not operating them properly. So these are a lot of the things that, you know, we're talking about are things that we don't know, right? This is a condition that is unusual, and when people talk to me about it, I think about, you know, what things do I need to think about? A lot of the things that I think about are things that I just don't know the answers to and the implications in the future. I live on the other side of the property. You know, I live back in the back. I know that the house is gonna be in the front where a lot of people can't see, but I'm in the back and I can see everything. There is no screen. And if this does come to be a reality, I would request that we have screening put in place along the property line, so that way, you know, I'm shielded from the two residents.
What kind of screening are you talking about?
Like a landscape screen.
Fence or something?
Like trees could be a landscape. I mean, just something that shields the view. But I think a lot of the things that I'm concerned about is I love the idea of having family, but it's like, well, we just don't know the implications of going into the future. I wish I could vocalize what those concerns are, but I can't. And I don't know. And that's the problem that I've had, is I just don't know how to do that. And again, like I said, you know, I love the Barneys, you know, I would love to put a house, you know, for my kids on my property too. And I think that's the precedent that I think we hear a lot from everybody else. It's like, well, that would be a great idea. I'll go ahead and put something in the back of my property. Well, now we need to have more well, and now we need to have more septic. Now we're gonna have more traffic. I don't know, it's difficult. It's a difficult decision. And I wish you the best in trying to figure things out. So I don't think it's an easy one.
Thank you. I wish you'd been around here about 30 years ago.
You're not allowed in here.
You shush. Come over there, Steve. Evening, everyone. Brian Mumford. We live at 2770 West Charleston. Been out there 22 years now. Gosh, blessed to have had land out there. We bought that land back in 2000, and part of the reason we bought out there was because they had big lots. They all range, you know, roughly 5 acres or up. Don't really want to see, I guess, the increase in density from traffic, you know, whatever. I think that would be the big thing. It's part of the benefit of having those lots. There's not that much traffic out there. So that would be, I guess, my biggest concern, just, you know, the increase of traffic and more homes. I don't know. I think it would just change the whole, you know, feeling out there. We love living out there, and yes, we love our neighbors, but they're close enough sometimes. So, thank you. Thank you.
I'm Marina Swihart, and I'm Steve's wife. We are two properties down. We all love Fauna deeply and dearly. That is not a question in our township, and it's not about love. I know it's difficult, and I could argue it either way. However, for us, speaking for our family, on the one hand, yeah, you can say it's really difficult and expensive, more than any other time now, to build a house and help your kids and all of that. So from that aspect, I'm like, hey, that's a brilliant idea, let's all do it. However, we also, as future matters, the present also matters, and as we want one property owner to be happy, we also care that everybody in our township is happy. We all, most of the people on our road are residential, so we pay residential taxes. Ours is almost 11,000, so I think it matters that we're also happy, right? So when my husband and I tried to find a place to live and settle, we both had a dream of country life. And we went through great lengths to find our property. And we went all over the county. He knew Miami County, I wasn't from here. He grew up in Miami County. We went all over the county. We put flyers in people's newspaper mailbox things. And we promised a reward and all of this, $500 to help us find this property. And through a miracle of God, we found our property. And it had everything we wanted. And it had open white spaces. And it wasn't population dense, which was why we bought in Bethel, because we could have bought anywhere else where there is population dense, where it's more population dense. So anyways, for us, we bought that 10-acre tract with high hopes and dreams, and I think that's what everybody came to that town, to that strip there, we came there because that's the life, the lifestyle that we saw at the Beast for us and our kids and all of that. I also know that, so we also bought the property and sold it to the Vardy. So obviously we bought two, obviously we love them and all of that. So it's not anything personal. It's about a lifestyle and it's about setting a precedent. The two precedents that are set is 38 acres and the other one is 12 acres, but it's 800 square foot building that's not, doesn't seem to be an issue. I don't know. I don't know what their issues are. Issues that I have, why I would not be in favor of it, but I'm always in favor of Fonda. And so whichever way it goes, I love Fonda, we all love Fonda, it's not about that. The precedent that it sets is a difficult one, and as we've all discussed here, it's a truly unknown one. I'm concerned about our property value. You know, is it gonna go up? Is it gonna go down? If it goes up, my property taxes increase, right? That's a problem. If it goes down, I can't sell my property, whatever, at whatever fair price. So property values right now for what it is, I've asked, where can we find guidance? And Marty answered very kindly, he doesn't know. That's the problem with this, we don't know. The other issue I have with the precedent, everybody could do it. Everybody is having hard times, everybody is aging, everybody has children. We would all love to do this for our kids. We have three kids. They don't know homes right now, we'd love to do it too. I mean, why not split it up in even smaller tracks and help our kids, right? But that changes the heart of why everybody bought there and settled there. And it also changes not only the population density, how dense the population is, but it also changes our traffic. I have brought it up and today, it's different than any other time. Our road is a dangerous road, in my opinion. When you first turn on our road, there's no signs to tell you how slow or fast to go. There's no speed limit signs. When you come off of a 202, you drive on the road, it's very narrow. Only by the curbs, by the two sharp curbs, I don't know if you know the road, there's 15 miles per hour posted, but that's it. So then you go down a little bit more and it's 25. We have a lot of people that drive. Marty pointed out if everybody would stick to the speed limit, we'd be okay, but there isn't a speed limit posted when you go in. And the problem is the traffic that comes there isn't us on the road. We know to go slow. We know to watch it. 25 is difficult. Most people that I've been behind has exceeded 25, including myself, so that's okay. However, with any one family that moves in, it's a different day. We all use delivery services. Why wouldn't we? It's free, it's cheap. So with any one additional family coming in, there's all these Sam's Club, Walmart, Amazon, FedEx, UPS. There's all of that coming up and down our road. Our road, for the taxes that we all pay, our road is terrible. I'm always scared that our kids are on that road because people drive very fast. Those bigger trucks, they all take the curbs wide. There's curbs with, like, you cannot even see, there's blind spots. It doesn't matter if I crawl, they take the curb wide, they take it fast. I'm constantly like navigating, should I, you know, fly off the ditch here, what should I do? It seems very narrow. It's not, our road is not properly taken care of in the township. It doesn't have a shoulder. I mean, I know that there are probably many, but, because I see you smile, yes, there are probably many. It doesn't have a shoulder, but our road is a dangerous road. The point I'm trying to make is the population density is one issue in traffic. We can control that, but what we can't control is how much people order, and they have a right to do it, we all do. And then also how dangerous it is. And there's no, if you pull on our road, there's no speed limit posted at all. There isn't. So these trucks, they're in a hurry. I know Amazon gets only so many few seconds or minutes to deliver something. So they're all, you know, doing it as fast as they can. They don't care. So anyways, I have a concern about property values in the future. We don't know. It's unknown. if my property value goes up, I pay higher taxes. If my property value goes down, I'm also in trouble. So that's an unknown. The road and the traffic is an issue, not just because of one family. It's what one family brings. The president is an issue. So I just see many, many issues here. And also, the water is an issue. We know that the water is an issue. So if one person does it, more people can do it, right? More and more people can do it. So there's more and more water issues, right? So for those reasons, I have very definite concerns. I love Fonda. It's not about that. It's about what affects that property. If it was any person on earth, will affect all of us into the future. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jenna. I'm the property owner's daughter, and I'm the one who is wanting to build the home on my parents' property. My husband and I, not just me. That's my husband, Tom. He's really cute. I had something very prepared to say, but with all of the concerns and questions and everything that have been raised, I'm just gonna try to address them as best as I can, so please bear with me. First of all, sorry. It means a lot to us to build on this piece of land. I grew up there, not necessarily as a resident on the land, but it's my home. Most of you neighbors know that I'm there every single day. So the concerns of the traffic, I am there every single day. I will not add another car to the road. And if it is a condition for the delivery trucks to be delivered at my house one day a week, I'm fine with that. The original plans that were submitted with this conditional use request, I heard it brought up earlier that there is a three-car garage on there, which there is. It has been shown to you, but we have modified those plans since. Our house will be 1,806 square feet with a two-car garage and a walkout basement. I will provide those plans to you guys as soon as I have them. We have to wait for all of the zoning stuff to go through before I modified them further. I want to address the fact that everybody is nervous about this being a permanent change. A house is a permanent change, yes. I understand that change can be scary. Everybody who has lived on this road has lived on this road for years, a lot of years. And I want to live there to continue that legacy of the neighborhood that we have established this far. My mom is a 1978 graduate of Bethel. I'm a 2013 graduate of Bethel, and I would love for my children to be members of Bethel Local Schools. It's something I've always envisioned for myself, and as it was brought up earlier, it is not an easy township to get into as somebody of my age. So I think that addresses that. The concern of the future of the property. Nobody can predict the future, not one person. But if I had anything to say about this property, which I do, I have a lot of it because I am the sole beneficiary of the property if something were to happen to my parents. I don't want it to go anywhere. I'm not leaving. So many people have asked me if I ever wanted to move or what. I want to die in this house. I want to be there forever. I am building this house to where if I become handicapped at some point, elderly, I can do that. And still be safe, and I'm planning for the future. If the property was ever resold by me, it would be sold as a whole. I have no intentions of separating it. It would be sold as a house with a guest home behind it. Another point was brought up earlier about the farm field in the back and how there are no residences in the back. That's also very important to us because we maintain a CAUV land use status, Most of you probably don't. It's a agriculture status. Conservancy, yes, thanks, Dad. Once all this construction is over, which it should be by the end of next year, we want this to be a functioning family farm. I want to raise my kids in 4-H. I really want that life for not only me, not only my husband, but my parents as they age. I want to be there to take care of them. And I want my kids to be able to get off of the school bus and go get ice cream at their grandparents' house if they want to. That's the life that I have always dreamed of. So I hope you guys will take all of that into consideration. Let me review my notes really quick. The home being visible by anybody but the neighbor across the street. Where we wish to build our home, the only person, if you were to go right there, right now, and spin around in a circle, the only home that you could kind of see is directly across the street. You can see maybe the rooftops of other properties surrounding, but nobody will be able to see my home. Not one person. It's also been noted that it is a flood zone area. A few years back, we did a lot of reworking of all of the water and yada, yada, yada. It's fine. It is really fine. We take very good pride in our landscaping up at the front of our property, and we don't want it to be flooded out either. And it has been fixed. So if anybody has any questions for me or my parents, I would love to answer them. If I have not addressed them yet.
Would you consider splitting it?
I would never consider splitting it. I would never consider splitting it. One, to maintain that CAUV status. Like I mentioned.
It's still fine there, though.
Yeah, but she.
At what benefit?
Exactly. And my. I'm sorry, but.
You're okay, thank you.
This. Splitting it would be the wrong direction
to
go as far as preserving from my opinion, preserving what we all want to see Bethel Township, I think most of us want to see Bethel Township, remain as much a rural area as possible. And this is one of the problems. And I'm sorry to, I told you, it'll never come before the zoning board because this is a, unless it would be split. It's a decision strictly by the board here. I have a real concern for both sides of this issue in the fact that some of the issues that were raised with the water before, I told the lady when she walked by, I wish she'd have been here 30 years ago when we were trying to get water across 40 and nobody wanted to pay for it. And delayed it, or we wouldn't be fighting annexation today if it had all passed back when I was pushing for it. We know there's a problem with water at Woodward Hill. There's a problem with water in West Charleston. I've been preaching this for years, and nobody would listen. I also have a property. I've got 27 and a half acres. Most of you probably know where I live, right on 202. My grandson wanted to do exactly what she's wanting to do on the north side of my property. And I was planning to go ahead and try to get a second residence because I didn't want to split off another lot off the frontage and ruin the frontage that I've got on 202. So I wanted to keep the family farm together. I, in turn, had signed the deed for the little house that's right next door to it that I bought 10 years after my parents bought the farm and basically tried to get it all back together as one unit, but there was a separate deed for that house. When my grandson, my youngest grandson, wanted to build on the north side of the property and I didn't want him to, I said, I'll sign the lease or the deed for the little house over to you. And you can use it as collateral and will apply for a second residence on an agricultural zone property. And you can build and it'll be mine. And then it's between you and your dad what happens when I'm gone. So I can relate to exactly what this lady's going through right now. A lot of personal problems ended up. My oldest grandson was in the little house that my youngest grandson I had signed the deed over to. He had some issues and my youngest grandson ended up evicting him. And he's remodeling the house and has moved into it himself. A lot of personal issues, family issues that nobody's interested in. But
I went to high school with your grandson.
with the oldest one, probably.
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah.
High school with Matt.
Well, that's the one, unfortunately. Matt, I love Matt, but he's got some real issues going on right now. So, we don't even know where he's living right now, so he won't communicate with the family, so we're not sure what's going on. Again, it's a rough decision for you folks. I don't envy you of that decision. I realize that a lot of the issues, when the issue was brought up about the safety of that road, I can think back 35 years ago, roughly, maybe 40 now, Matt Davis and I were plowing down the road before it was widened and improved. And the people that lived clear down at the end of the road, which was the only residence down there at that time, was coming up the road as we were trying to plow down towards the river. There was only 11 foot of pavement, well, actually less than 11 foot of pavement on that road at that time, and our plow was 11 foot wide. He was coming up the hill, going as fast as he could on the snow, trying to make it up the hill. As we ran around the bend and was going down the hill, we didn't have any visibility of him until the last minute. He didn't have any visibility of us until the last minute, and he hit us head on. We didn't even feel it in the truck. And we were in the old Louisville cab and we're sitting up high and looking down. We could see him bounce. And unfortunately, he wasn't injured. But the safety of that road, I agree, is still something to be desired, but it's a heck of a lot better than it was
then. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So if it were a condition, like if it came down to you needing the land being split in order to build, is that something that you would consider?
It is something that I would consider, but not
probably, I know it wouldn't be ideal.
Yes.
But there may need to be some flexibility.
The only concern with that is splitting the land would get rid of our conservancy status.
Well,
if then nothing under 10 acres can be that.
Right.
And at that point, what's the point of us continuing to farm the land and...
Well, you would farm it for your own personal...
Well,
unfortunately, there would be more taxes involved in that, but when you put another property
fine.
On there...
That's, we have no, we are not trying to get around tax problems.
Right. And I see a lot of people doing that now. They're getting their own little communities and their...
A family compound.
Family compound, that's what it's called. I see a lot of that going on. A lot of people my age are doing that to keep the family close. And it's not ideal on 10 acres, but I can see you wanting to be there to take care of your mother and your father and just to try to have options if that's something would be considered. I know Bethel Township does not like to split acreage anyways, but
that is another reason
we
do not want to split it. And to, again, address the water and sewer situation, no matter what we do, the county has to approve it,
right?
So no matter what is decided here today, we still have to take this to the county. And they still have to go through everything. So that's my point.
Yes, for questions. Are you in floodplain, Jeff? You're not in floodplain.
No, we are not in floodplain. We are not in floodplain.
Flooding. Yeah.
The map that was referred to, there's like the front part of the property where the creek is. That's the only portion. That is the only portion that would have any sort of scary factor.
You don't have a floodplain anymore.
No, yeah, right.
Because this is the bottom of my driveway.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing is a great idea.
I'm Ron Corbett, and I'm on the zoning commission, and we've been talking about the consideration of splitting the property. But I just want to add too, that would still require a variance because that existing barn is too large to be in a domestic A1 sized property as well. So that would still be another hurdle for them.
And the driveway.
And then you still have the driveway, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there would have to be a variance for frontage and everything too, so.
That's what I meant about the driveway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That, I mean, of the, way I look at it, you only got one option, and that's to deny it completely or accept the conditional use. I don't think the zoning board would look favorably at a lot split. And I'm just speaking as one member of that. I don't know what the rest of the board, some of them are here if they want to speak up.
Would there be a way to add a sentence that would require a separate sewer and water?
That would be required by the county. That has nothing to do with
without separate sewer. Yeah, that's all going to have to be determined by the county anyhow.
Yeah, you can't, I know you can't share septic.
We do already have. We do already have one well on the property.
I got a spot for another one.
As my parents are in the process of building their house attached to the barn, the guy has been out there. There is a place for another well. It might be a little country, you know, the old way of doing it, but there is a place for another well. There is also a place for sewer that we can put that we have already scoped out. We've talked to contractors. Has that been completely set in stone or approved by county or anything? No. But it will be. It will be.
Yes.
That's up for
the county.
Okay, so you're not sure.
Really close.
The county comes out, you have to get an engineer to come out now.
I'm just kidding.
Because I just had it done with one.
Okay, are we all?
You have to get us.
Sorry to interrupt.
We need to wrap on this.
Yeah, does anybody else have anything to say?
I'm not convinced I understand why splitting it is so bad, since you basically are splitting.
We're not.
No.
Well, there's
It's not split. It's not split. There's still only one owner.
Two homes, but it's not split, and it never could be split without going back through zoning.
Yes.
Correct.
But they're going through zoning now.
And the variance on the frontage. So it'd have to go before both boards again.
Yeah.
Should something happen to my parents, we probably will not have any renters or anybody in there. I will use that as a separate workspace for myself. I run my own business. I don't have customers or anything. It would be my personal office. Let's get that point across.
Customers and stuff.
I don't have customers.
That's tough.
Why do you do that? I want to know.
I'm all virtual. I'm all virtual.
You got to be close.
I don't want to.
I have a question. Hearing Jerry speak, our PhD here, and Water speak, Laura speak. We definitely have a water problem in our area, and I am wondering, that's unaddressed, right? So we're talking about a precedent, more properties, you know. We don't know, maybe we all want to help our kids, but how does that maybe perhaps make us vulnerable to be annexed by Uber Heights so we can get water? Because our water is running out. How does that work?
You're not vulnerable for annexation until any contiguous properties would be annexed.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we've tried to enforce. And the reason we've always said that we want development along the southern border, because once it's developed, those residents aren't going to want to be annexed. It's only the developer that wants to annex. Once it's sold, those people, you go down and talk to people in Carriage Trails, and they'd be the first one to tell you, They'd rather be in Bethel Township completely.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be in the city. But the developer that developed it and sold them the lots and everything, they're the ones that, you know, these people buy it and they don't know what they're getting into when they buy it.
They make all the money.
Exactly.
The developers.
Again, it's not an easy decision for you folks up there to make, but unfortunately, okay, you're at the mercy of whatever they decide.
I just have one final thought. I want to emphasize that, you know, I know this is a unique request, but I also think that we also have to acknowledge that if this does pass, there's going to be other people, maybe like me, who want to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be not just one, but it could be 10.
And this board will hear that request as they're hearing this one.
It is.
You have every right to ask
right
for that.
Yeah.
As a property owner.
Right.
It's completely within your right.
I don't think the Hawthorne kids are coming back. Or the Van Buren kids.
I don't think you have kids to do it, though. You don't have to have kids to do it.
I know.
Kind of finds out.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we need to talk about? All right.
Darren,
I'm going to make a motion.
Are we keeping the wording the same?
We're going to vote to approve conditional use 01-24 with conditions that the second residence may not be used as a non-family or short-term rental.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Anderson?
No.
Mrs. Quinn? Mrs. Quinn?
No.
Ms. Kiplinger?
Yes.
Mr. Stouter?
Yes.
Mr. Owens?
Yes.
That's a vote of 3 yes to 2 no. The conditional use is approved with those conditions. Other things that we have to do here very quickly, I'm sorry that we went over, but we wanted everybody to be heard. We do have some old business, which is a set of minutes that I provided you from January, which was the last meeting. I found them on the server. So I would, if you wish, I would need a motion to approve, and then we can vote on approving the January 25th.
The only one that was here was me, Steve, and
Nick.
Right. So there's three.
We're the only three.
That's true. Yeah. You don't get them.
That's all right.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of January 24th, 2024.
I'll second it.
And
yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
At least get it out.
Yes.
And Steve. Okay, thank you. We'll have those posted then on the website. All right. There are no commissions or reports at this time. Board of Zoning Appeal comments. You want out of here. I don't think.
A motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
There we go.
Third.
Thank you, everybody. You did a nice job. It was a tough case.